Please turn with me to John chapter 1. If you're turning, let me remind you, we have received our calendars, refrigerator calendars for next year there at the exits. Be sure to pick up not only your copy of a calendar, but also feel free to get some for friends and relatives. We have had these now for I don't know how many years, but we continue, and this year we're featuring the chapel as it's been renovated, and love the light, because the light of the world is Jesus. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, I'm going to read through verse 5. Hear now the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That word there for men is anthropos, from which we get anthropology, that is the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, verse 5, and the darkness has not overcome it. That word there means that not only has not understood it, it can't comprehend the light, the world, the darkness cannot comprehend the light, but it can't overcome it either. So keep your Bibles open. We're going to look more at these verses, and let's pray to God. Lord, we give You thanks for this revelation of Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity every year to celebrate the Incarnation. That is, the God, second member of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, becoming the God-man. Lord, we pray that You'll help us to better live in light of who Your Son is. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to ask you, what is the best-selling song of all time, what would your answer be? Not the best-selling Christmas song, but literally the best-selling song of all time. It may surprise you, but according to the Guinness Book of World Records, the best-selling song of all time was written in 1940 by a man named Irving Berlin and was made popular by a singer by the name of Bing Crosby. The name of the song is White Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Now, of course, down here in the South, instead of a white Christmas, our snowstorms seem to arrive in February. And our snowstorms are not the stuff of dreams. They're the stuff of nightmares. Heavy snow shutting us down for a long time. Mississippi is not a snow-friendly state, even at Christmas. So instead of dreaming of a white Christmas, why don't we embrace the reality that we long to see played out on the stage of our lives, in our families, our friendships, our relationships, and even our culture. And the reality we're talking about is the reality of a light Christmas. This light Christmas reality leaps off the pages of John chapter 1. And it begins, actually, this beginning with light starts way back in Genesis 1:3, where God says, "Let there be light." And there was light. Genesis to Revelation, there is at least 250 references to light. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 identifies Jesus as the light, up close, the light, personal, the light that has come into this world. John 1 is a celebration of Jesus' incarnation. That point in time and space and history when Jesus added to His divine nature, human nature, and actually was born as a baby. This morning, let's consider in a practical way what it means to affirm Jesus as the light of the world. When we affirm Jesus as the light of the world, the first affirmation we're making is this. What we're saying, in the first place, is that for all people, Jesus is indispensable to life. Jesus is indispensable to life. Jesus is the source of all life. Notice what it says, all things were made through him. Without him was nothing made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life. Now, if you have a favorite plant in your house, you know what will happen if you move your pet plant from a window to the back of your closet. Your pet will shrivel up and die. Because for life to happen, there has to be light. Without the sun, there's no life, period. No light, no life. Well, the Bible reveals to us that through the agency of Jesus, God the Father created everything you see. Think about that when you leave today. Everything you see was created through the agency of Jesus. And not only that, but everything you do not see. Everything visible, everything invisible. God said, let there be light. And through the agency of Jesus, there was light. And according to Proverbs chapter 8, from the beginning of creation, Jesus was and Jesus still is the artisan of creation. That is, Jesus doesn't just create things. He artistically arranges light. So what we see in the sky is nothing less than a breathtakingly beautiful display of divine art. I'd encourage you, next time you gasp at the sight of a big orange-colored moon just sort of hanging in the night sky, next time you witness a spectacular night show full of stars and meteors and planets, next time you observe an awesome sunrise or sunset, Carol and I were driving the other day, and just right before the storm came, there was this amazing sunset up against the clouds. It almost stuns you in the silence. Remember this, behind all that is Jesus. And like a master artist arranges colors on a canvas, Jesus arranges all the nights in the sky. His sky art arrests our attention and then moves us deep down in our feels. And while you're feeling, remember this, if it wasn't for Jesus, there'd be nothing in the sky to enjoy. And there would be no one to enjoy the artistry of light surrounding us, light giving us light. You see, life and light are Siamese twins. They're conjoined at the heart. And Jesus is the source of light and life. As we sang this morning, our first hymn, life and light to all he brings. You ever thought about that? It's great to meditate on hymns. Light and life to all he brings, even those who deny Christ. They enjoy the daytime and nighttime night shows just like we do. It's something called common grace. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reminds us that God causes his sun to shine on the righteous and the wicked. Romans 1, 18 through 20 reminds us, people who look up in the sky and do not see the artistic handiwork of the Lord. This isn't too strong a term. It's right in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. People who do not see this are morons. God leaves his calling cards in the skies all over the world, and God holds even intellectual, overeducated morons with PhDs accountable for suppressing the truth. For blindness to the obvious, Jesus, the light of the world, is the source of physical life. You're here because Jesus is the source of physical life. But notice also, for Christians, Jesus is the source of all spiritual life. There's physical life, and then there's spiritual life. That is, Christ alone shines the light of spiritual life into the darkness of our dead hearts. All you have to do is read your spiritual autobiography in Ephesians. I've had to go through the whole Bible here. Your spiritual autobiography in Ephesians 2:1, because spiritually speaking, we were withered, dead plants until Jesus shined his light into the greenhouse of our hearts. But don't take my word for this. Let me read this to you. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7. Quote, "For God who said, 'Let there be light and darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts, so we may know the glory of God seen in the face of Jesus Christ." And we now have this light shining in our hearts. Think about that. You have the light of Christ shining in your hearts. I want to challenge you, starting tomorrow morning, do this. Before your feet even hit the floor, remind yourself of something physical, emotional, and spiritual. Physical, emotional, and spiritual. Remind yourself, I'm physically alive because the light of the world gives me life. I'm emotionally alive because the light of the world has actually thawed out my ice-cold heart, my Grinch heart. I'm spiritually alive because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. You see, if you'll begin each day reminding yourself of your physical and emotional and spiritual aliveness because of the light of the world, what's going to happen is this. You'll experience an enormous recalibration of your life. It will not look the same. It will not feel the same. It will not even look the same to others. When we affirm Jesus as the light, we're affirming Jesus as the source of physical life and the source of our spiritual life. So that's the first affirmation. Jesus is indispensable for life. But notice here from this text also, a second affirmation regarding this Jesus who came to earth as a child. And that's this: for all people, Jesus illuminates life. That's the second affirmation. Not only is Jesus indispensable to life, but for all people, Jesus illuminates life. You know, light sustains life. Light illuminates everything. Let me ask you, have you ever experienced, you ever been in a situation where you've experienced total darkness? I mean, darkness where you can't even see your hand in front of you. Right after the eighth grade, one summer, parents took three Justly boys on a trip to Ruby Falls. I remember descending down into the nether regions of the Ruby Falls cavern. At a point in time, this is before people had cell phones and with flashlight attachments, without letting us know beforehand, they just turned the lights off. Total darkness. I can't see my hand in front of my face. Darkness. Panic squeezing my heart, kind of darkness. How will I ever get out of this place? Kind of darkness. And then a voice over the loudspeaker read these first five verses. Verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And as soon as that voice read that scripture, the lights go on, and you see this spectacular sight of Ruby Falls. And it's now more beautiful than ever because of that 5 minutes of darkness that just threw us all into a panic. You see, the experience of it feels like a jail sentence spent in total darkness taught me just how important light is to us. Look at verse 9. It says, "The true light which enlightens everyone," notice this, "the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into this world." What's that saying? It's saying this: if there's any light shining into any life, any illumination, enabling us to do anything from living to keeping warm to discovering any truth in any field at all, history, science, medicine, music, physics, engineering, education, law, politics, whatever discoveries people make in this fallen world, it's only because light enables all people to function. Apart from the light that comes from the Lord, there is nothing but disorientation and disaster. We need light to illumine our lives. So keep in mind, for all people, any illumination we have in life comes from the Lord. It may come secondarily from the sun or artificial light or fire, but ultimately, either directly or indirectly, all light is a gift from the gracious hand of the Lord. And apart from the physical life, the physical light the Lord provides, all we do is just grope around in darkness. What tragic irony it is that we witness today people warmed by the light, illumined by the light, but yet failing to acknowledge the Lord as the ultimate source of the light they enjoy. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He doesn't qualify that. In other words, it's not just spiritual light, but any light shining in our physical, our moral, our spiritual darkness. It is His light. But the problem today is people are living in spiritual darkness. We see it in crime and greed and spite and dishonesty. We see it in outrage and slander. Such a poisonous world. People who engage in such behaviors, they can't comprehend the light. They can't understand the idea of light having a spiritual source. It's called naturalism, where people think there's a natural explanation for everything. But if you look at verse 5, it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't understand it, cannot comprehend it, it cannot acknowledge Jesus as the light." Shouldn't surprise you. People who live in spiritual darkness are committed to darkness. Let's encourage each other this year, especially, to pray for people with spiritually dark hearts. Would you pray for people you know who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior? You see, if someone you know today does not embrace Jesus, the light of the world, it may be a friend, a relative, a co-worker, a fellow student, that person without Christ is living right now in darkness, spiritual darkness. But that's not the worst part of it. The worst part is the final tragedy is coming. When people without Christ die, those who reject the light live forever in the outer darkness of a place called hell. There's a television series out a couple of decades ago. It was not a Christian show, not written or produced or acted by Christians. It's a dark show, spiritually and morally. But in one of the seasons, the main character who had died the season before was, they were very careful to call it this, was resuscitated from the dead. But as she's talking with her friends, she describes her brief experience of death. Now listen to how she describes it. "It was deep darkness. It was scary darkness. I don't ever want to go back there again." She was absolutely scared out of her wits, having experienced darkness. You see, even non-Christian writers of non-Christian television shows instinctively know there's something indescribably awful about eternal darkness. But sadly, that is the destiny of all people who do not embrace Jesus as Savior and Lord. Total darkness. Friends, that's why we tell people with tears in our eyes, "Friend, the only reason there's light in your life is because the Lord provides light." And if you continue down the path you're going, when you die, you're going to suffer eternal darkness unless you embrace Jesus, who is the light of the world. As the sun illuminates our world physically, people need Jesus to illuminate them spiritually. Love that hymn, that second hymn we sang by Philip Bliss, "The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin." The light of the world is Jesus. Like noonday sunshine, Jesus' glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, it's shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon thee. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. See, Christ and Christ alone takes our darkness and turns it into light. Today, as we reflect on how indispensable Jesus is to us physically and spiritually, as we reflect on how Christ alone illuminates people morally, spiritually, physically, if we claim to be people who've seen the light by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, it's futility to deceive ourselves to think we can live comfortably with darkness. There's no coexistence between darkness and light. Please hear that. They are mutually exclusive. So, since they are darkness and light, what changes do we need to make? I'd like to suggest two. First change is this. When the light comes into your life, darkness must go. When Jesus shines His light into your life, in other words, change must happen. The light of the Lord shines to what you do, what you love, how you spend your money, how you talk to each other, your attitude toward life, your attitude toward people. Your sinful ways should scatter. I don't know if you've ever been in a dirty kitchen. I did not grow up in a dirty kitchen, but I had a roommate in seminary who kept a dirty kitchen. I would go into the kitchen, turn on the light. You wouldn't believe how those cockroaches would scatter. Well, our sinful ways need to scatter like that, because light dispels darkness. Light cannot be comfortable with darkness. So God is calling you this morning to make life adjustments. We shine the light of God's Word in the dark areas of our life, and light chases away darkness. Now the bad news is this. Every one of us, including the one who stands here before you this morning, we all have some areas of darkness in our lives. That's the bad news. But the good news is this. Light always overcomes darkness. Always. So embrace Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Say no to temptation. Say yes to obeying the Lord. Treasure Jesus more than you treasure what sin has to offer. The more times you turn on the light in those dark rooms of your life, the more you'll see darkness dispelled by Jesus, the light of the world. Second change is this. Remember, when you embrace the light, darkness must go. Second change is this. When the light shines, your path is illuminated. Have you ever hiked through a forest or through a field in the middle of the night? It's scary. All those holes in the ground, those strange sights and sounds and shadows casting about. You imagine all kind of weird, scary things. But the most important thing about walking in the woods at night, beside not walking in the woods at night, is taking the right path through the woods back to a safe place, back home. But to follow and to even find that path, what do you need? A flashlight. Well, as you walk through life's deep, dark woods, Jesus is the light illuminating your path. John 1:1, notice it says, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. The Word was with God, the Logos was with God, and the Logos, the Word, was God." In other words, Jesus is the Word incarnated. So whenever and wherever you open this Word, you're hearing the voice of Jesus. and you're shining Jesus' light upon your path. As we sang this morning, Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, what you have this morning open before you is the word of the Lord to light your path, to lead you through this dark world, to lead you safely home. Perhaps you're stumbling through life right now. If you think about it, if you really think about it, those areas where you're stumbling is probably those same areas where you're not shining the light of God's Word on your path. And when you're walking in darkness, you're on the wrong path. Open your Bible. Apply what you read. Jesus says He will illumine your path. And not only that, but the light of the world will walk with you. He promises never to leave you or forsake you. You will never walk alone. A number of places this year, people may or may not be dreaming of a white Christmas. We literally have no choice when it comes to the weather this Christmas. It's going to happen, and we'll experience it. But we do have a choice about one thing. We can choose to have a light Christmas. All we have to do is affirm with our lips and our life that Jesus is the light of the world. And then what we need to do is to live like Jesus is the light of the world. Friends, you have the light before you. If you're a Christian, you have the light inside of you, the light of the Holy Spirit. The question is, will we live according to the light? And that's the question we'll just leave you with today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that we can affirm that through the incarnation, the light of the world has come to us. Physical and spiritual life is because of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We acknowledge that Your Son is indispensable to life, and His Word and His Spirit transform us. They are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we pray that Your Son, the Word, Your Word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In Jesus' name, amen.